The Healer, The Healing Work of Mary Baker Eddy, compiled and arranged by David Keeston, Part 4, 8th Continuation, Number 163. The following is related by a Mrs. Allen to Irving C. Tomlinson, and appears as a testimony in the December 1905 issue of Christian Science Journal. 2 years ago, I had a man, name of Carter, come up to my house to repair some window shades in the parlor. When he had finished his work, I asked him to come to my study. I left him in my room for a time, and when I returned, he said, "I see that you are a Christian Scientist," because he saw my literature in the room. Then he said, "I was healed by the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy." I said, "I want you to tell me all about it." Then he gave me these facts. About 18 years ago, while living in Boston, I fell from the third story of a building on which I was working to the pavement. My leg was broken in three places. I was taken to a hospital where they tried to help me. They said that the leg was so bad that it would have to be amputated. I said, "No, I would rather die." They permitted it to heal as best it might, and as a result, I had to wear an iron shoe 8 or 9 inches high. I was called to Mrs. Eddy's home on Commonwealth Avenue in Boston to do some light work. Mrs. Eddy came into the room where I was busy and, observing my condition, kindly remarked, "I suppose you expect to get out of this sometime." I answered, "No, all that can be done for me has been done, and I can now manage to get around with a cane." Mrs. Eddy said, "Sit down and I will treat you." When she finished the treatment, she said, "You go home and take off that iron shoe and give your leg a chance to straighten out." I went home and did as I was told, and am so well that, so far as I know, one leg is as good as the other. From Science and Health. The less mind there is manifested in matter, the better. When the unthinking lobster loses its claw, the claw grows again. If the science of life were understood, it would be found that the senses of mind are never lost, and that matter has no sensation. Then the human limb would be replaced as readily as the lobster's claw, not with an artificial limb, but with the genuine one. Any hypothesis which supposes life to be in matter is an educated belief. In infancy, this belief is not equal to guiding the hand to the mouth. And as consciousness develops, this belief goes out, yields to the reality of everlasting life. From Luke. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. Number 164. I must relate another sacred experience of our leader's healings. One day, when she had finished her lesson in the class of which I was a member, she asked me to wait after the other members had gone, and as she was standing in the classroom at 571 Columbus, a gentleman called to see her, bringing with him his sister, who greatly needed healing. Mrs. Eddy met them at the door of the room and asked him to wait downstairs, while she talked with his sister. The belief was insanity, and she looked terrified. Our leader told me that her delusion was that a serpent was coiled around her body and was crushing her. I stood in amazement, watching Mrs. Eddy's face as she turned and looked at the woman who fell on the floor screaming, "It's crushing me! It's killing me!" Our leader looked upwards, as if she had seen the face of an angel in her communion with God. In a moment she said to the woman, "Has it gone?" And the poor woman looked up, and her whole body was shaking and quivering as she answered, "Yes." I watched the changes of expression that came over her face, from fear to peace and joy. And oh, the love that was expressed in our leader's face as she looked down on her, stretched out both arms, and lifted her up, saying, "Get up, darling." Then our dear teacher took that needy one's head on her shoulder and patted her face as she lovingly talked the truth to her. Mrs. Eddy then went out of the room and talked to the mother, who took her home, and asked me to come and have supper with her and to sing to her. During the evening, she turned to me and said, "You saw what happened to that lady today? Well, she will never be insane in this world again." And she has not. From Mark. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind. From Science and Health. The treatment of insanity is especially interesting. However obstinate the case, It yields more readily than do most diseases to the salutary action of truth, which counteracts error. The arguments to be used in curing insanity are the same as in other diseases, namely, the impossibility that matter, brain, can control or derange mind, can suffer or cause suffering. Also, the fact that truth and love will establish a healthy state, guide and govern mortal mind or the thought of the patient, and destroy all error, whether it is called dementia, hatred, or any other discord. Number 165. A student told Mrs. Eddy of a case of bronchial trouble that she had been endeavoring to heal without success. Mrs. Eddy leaned over the desk and shook her finger at her, saying, "What are bronchial tubes for?" Then she answered her own question. "They are to be used to sing praises to the Lord, and for nothing else." The student's patient was healed in that hour. Number 166. The National Christian Scientist Association held their 1888 meeting in Chicago, June 13th, at Central Music Hall, just 8 days after the CSA meeting in Boston, where attempts to oust Mrs. Eddy from leadership of her church had failed. While Mrs. Eddy was to attend the meeting, she was not slated to speak. However, George B. Day, a disaffected student, had put her on the program as the primary speaker. Robert Putnam, in his association notes, relates, "Just as the meeting was about to start, he handed her a copy of the program, and she was astounded to find out what he had done. He assumed she would refuse to speak. Then he would take her place and announce his departure from the movement. However, she detected his plan, rose to the occasion, and delivered her famous speech, Science and the Senses. Despite this treacherous act, brought to her notice moments before she was supposed to speak in front of nearly 4,000 attendees, she rose to the occasion through her ever-reliance on the Almighty, and extemporaneously delivered what is known as one of the most famous and inspiring addresses of her earthly career." A brief synopsis of her address, Science and the Senses, appears on page 98 of Miscellaneous Writings. An interesting sidelight to this episode was the fact that the week before, Mrs. Eddy had heard that Mr. Day was ill and had sent him a letter calculated to heal him. 2 days after writing the Chicago teacher, Mrs. Eddy learned that her letter had accomplished its purpose. Christian Science Journal, Volume 114, Number 2, page 21. "Well," Mrs. Eddy said, "God's leading seemed to be more toward the stage than away. So I went thinking there would be some provision. When I got onto the platform, everyone of that vast audience arose as one man, spontaneously, and unexpectedly to the audience even. It was said there that no one had ever known of such a thing before. When I got onto the stage, the thought of my subject came to mind, Science and the Senses. It was almost just what I dreamed a short time previously. I could not tell exactly when nor just about the dream. Then the audience sang, "Nearer, my God, to thee." And I felt full of the Spirit, and I was just ready. My fear had all left me, you see, and I talked to them for an hour. And then I said I should weary them, but they called out for me to go on. And I talked a half hour more. One must wonder what power it was that enabled her voice to be heard distinctly by even those in the remotest areas of the immense auditorium. The audience was inspired by this great lady, whose book had healed so many of them. When I got through, there was a great rush toward the stage, and the detectives and policemen were about to open a way out. But there were a lot of people down in front holding up their hands and being held up by others and calling upon me to help them. I said to the police or those in charge, "Wait, there is work here yet to do." And I received acknowledgments from many afterwards saying they had been entirely healed of their diseases. One of a so-called hopeless case of diabetes, and others too numerous to mention. Then the police cleared the way to my hack, where an immense crowd were striving to see me. "I tell you this," she said, "because in this way you may see that if we trust in the Lord, He will uphold us." From 1 Corinthians. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The following is a correlative to the experience Mrs. Eddy had at the meeting in Chicago when she addressed the CS Association. From Luke, "There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, and unto magistrates, and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Number 167. Mrs. Eddy had much antagonism to meet during this time because of those trying to wrest control of her church. However, this was a turning point in the growth and acceptance of the cause of Christian Science, providing national recognition, wonder, and acceptance through the newspapers of the day. Reporters in attendance to record the event were so struck by her uplifting message that many were unable to write. Over a dozen people were healed during her address that day. Below is another example of her inspiration healing others that day. Emily B. Hewlin of Brooklyn, New York, related the following. "I was seated in the gallery near the stage, where I had a good view of the platform and the audience. I noticed a woman on crutches coming down the main aisle with great difficulty. She was seated in the front row opposite the stage. At the conclusion of Mrs. Eddy's remarks, which took for their topic the spiritual meaning of the 91st Psalm, the woman referred to arose in her seat and with outstretched arms said something to Mrs. Eddy, who leaned over the platform and said something in reply which I could not hear. Immediately, this woman laid down her crutches and walked out straight and erect. After Mrs. Eddy returned to her home in Boston, she also spoke of the same healing to members of her household as one of the healings that had occurred during or following her address in Chicago." Number 168. Another attendee relayed the following upon seeing this same woman healed right in front of her by Mrs. Eddy's compassionate outreach. "I cannot tell you of the awe that fell on me, or the impression I received, and I then determined to learn more of this wonderful truth at the fountainhead." Number 169. Janet T. Coleman relates her experience that day in Chicago. She had spoken to her students the first day alone, a business meeting of the NCSA, and to me she seemed more like a man as she spoke to us. Her strength, her manner, impressed me with great strength. The next day, she spoke in music hall to the multitude. Many were healed. That day, I saw her as a woman. That night, as I was getting into bed, had not laid down, when at the foot of the bed I saw Jesus' form rise up in white. Then our leader in white rose up beside him. She put out her arms and embraced him. He melted into her. Then she rose up beyond my gaze. I became so cold, although it was quite warm weather. It took a long time for me to get normal. I came down to Boston a short time after, and I went to see our leader at Commonwealth Avenue, her home at the time. I was ushered into her parlor upstairs. Two traitors sat there. We'll not name them. I told Mrs. Eddy that I had something to tell her. At first, she said I could go on, then changed her mind and said for me to go into her little room with her. So I did. After I finished, she told me not to speak of it to anyone, not even to her students. It was too far beyond the age at that time. When Christ and Christmas came out, the picture Christian Unity expressed more what I saw at Chicago. From Jeremiah, "The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man." Mrs. Eddy told Miss Mary Eaton, one of her students, her return to Concord after her visit to Chicago was like the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, followed by the crucifixion. Miss Eaton replied, "Are you not the same to this age as Jesus was to his age?" Mrs. Eddy replied, "Yes, and more. 1,800 years of progress." From Science and Health, "The advent of Jesus of Nazareth marked the first century of the Christian era. But the Christ is without beginning of years or end of days. Throughout all generations, both before and after the Christian era, the Christ, as the spiritual idea, the reflection of God, has come with some measure of power and grace to all prepared to receive Christ truth. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets caught glorious glimpses of the Messiah, or Christ, which baptized these seers in the divine nature, the essence of love." Number 170. Susie Lang tells how she was puzzled during her first class with Mrs. Eddy by the question of evil's origin, and could get no solution, though Mrs. Eddy patiently analyzed it for her 3 times. Ashamed to ask again before the class, Miss Lang approached the teacher privately afterward and was answered in 4 powerful words. We can only guess at what they were, but they stirred my consciousness to its very depths, keeping it in a state of fermentation for several hours, and then the inward voice spoke to me so clearly, so emphatically, the mystery was solved, and I stepped out, as it were, into another world. From Science and Health, "There is no power apart from God. Omnipotence has all power, and to acknowledge any other power is to dishonor God." Number 171. At the end of the primary class, which he had completed with her just a week or two before, Charles F. Kinzel had come to her and told her that his wife would be having a baby shortly after he arrived back in Kansas. Mrs. Eddy had told him to have no fear. She would give the case her prayer and support. Now, he wrote that the birth had been swift and easy. 4 hours later, his wife had risen and dressed the child, and 24 hours later, she had got up for good. If it were not for the healthy little newcomer, it would be difficult to realize that anything had happened. 22 years later, Kinzel wrote Mrs. Eddy confirming the incident and telling her that the daughter, now a healthy young woman, was studying in Boston. From Isaiah, "Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God?"